SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Well, a very happy, I can't call it an Oaks Day, right? I can't say happy Oaks. I guess I could say happy fantasy. Happy May Day. Happy May Day. How about that? All right. I already sent out a May Day missive on Twitter, urging people to honor and remember the martyrs of Haymarket and to appreciate the workers that are seeing everybody through these arduous times. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And a lot to do over these 3 hours with the focus on Oaklawn. It's got to be about two-thirds of our, a little bit more maybe, called three-quarters of our conversations with the two Arkansas Derbies and the Oaklawn Handicap. Saturday, as well as today. I'm sure they'll slip in some opinions today as well as we bring in variety and get some handicapping done. The news elements have got to be woven in, too. I'm sure when Jay Privman joins us in about 20 minutes, Jay will lead us off. Yeah, obviously, Arkansas Derby conversation, Derby watch, et cetera, a big part. But I also want to get a reaction from Jay on the passing of Artie Hubbard and also, of course, the encouraging situation at Santa Anita where the condition book has promised. Chris Murs getting out a condition book with some stakes. No Santa Anita Derby listed in the, you know, in the index, but Shoemaker and you know, several others. So we'll see, you know, what the plans are when we have time next week and see what else Jay was and Steve Anderson have been able to glean about Santa Anita reopening. And as we also, you know, go through and weave news in on the, you know, the handicapping festival for Oaklawn, gotta mention that hours after Darren Rogers joined us, news came officially. I mean, Darren did say, did he not say specifically, we'd like to be racing sooner rather than later. Well, okay. sooner ends up meaning virtually immediately. It took about 48 hours. And in fact, that's what Darren said, that he said within 24 to 48 hours, he thought that Ben Huffman would have a feel. And, you know, don't forget, people are saying, well, what about the horses that are coming in that staggered opening situation? Well, there's horses at the various training centers that are already around, you know, Mercury and whatnot, and the Thoroughbred Training Center and Keeneland. I mean, there's horses in Kentucky. It's not like, you know, Turfway didn't end all that long ago. I mean, there's plenty of horses before the ones come from other points on the compass. So as a result, the word came later in the afternoon that opening day will be May 16th. May 16th. So between Santa Anita on the 15th and Churchill on the 16th, by all rights, we're only going to, you know, have to make it a week without one of the major circuits in place. All right. So that'll be part of the discussion, obviously, as we go through the morning. There was also, after Pat joined us, Pat McKenna from NYRA, I thought a very supportive and, you know, kind of a adjunct to, you know, NYRA's position in lieu of what the governor has had to say the last few days. And Joe Applebaum from NYTHA, Joe had extensive comments and fully, you know, has the weight of the horsemen and the stakeholders behind NYRA's initiative and the direction of Albany. And I again reiterate this very difficult situation beyond beyond Belmont. I get it. Everybody is caught up in the Saratoga. What is going to happen? There's no way to determine what is going to happen. And it was, I think, driven home yesterday by Applebaum that let's not worry about that right now. It's 2.5 months away. Let's make getting Belmont up and running and getting things, you know, there's racing to be had and racing to conduct downstate. And that was a big part of Applebaum's message, and saw a lot of support from any number of entities that, they're fully behind, the directions that are being, indicated. So that's got to be the focus. I mean, I saw where Bob Ehalt wrote a very big piece at Bloodhorse, already talking to the business community in Saratoga. Oh, it could be devastating. Yeah, okay, I get that. There's nothing that's going to be decided, and no amount of hand wringing, and there's also seemingly a group of Albany County, Saratoga County, Rensselaer, whatever, that is saying they don't want downstaters coming up. There's been some really ridiculous and insulting, knee racist things said about having brown people come up from downstate. Quite something. I just shake your head. So Saratoga will know what's happening when everything else, once the train is pulled out of the station at Elmont. Let's get things going downstate before we worry about what's happening over here. Meanwhile, while we were focused on things like that, two more horses came out of the Arkansas Derby fields, and we'll let Jay discuss that. But now Saratogian has pulled out, and so has Wrecking Crew. Wrecking Crew was in the first division and Saratogian in the second, and we already had Shooter Shoot and Fast Enough come up with issues that knocked them out of the race, respective races. So we have fields of nine now. So now there's 18 horses. I'm not going to, there's no point at this juncture to reiterate that it seemed like this would have been better with one 14 horse field than what has transpired, but whatever, it's fine. You're going to get points and you're going to get, a couple of horses from each division are going to be well positioned, to look ahead to the summer and to make their way toward Derby. And then there's everything else that goes on with the card. What else in here? We'll cover, as suggested, a lot of just an outpouring of respect and appreciation for the life and career of Artie Hubbard. This is one of those people that there's going to be story after story that's going to continue to come out, because he did a lot of things very selflessly and anonymously that benefited people, and there's going to be, any number. I mean, you heard literally within 90 seconds of news that R.D. Hubbard had passed, then here was Darren Rogers joining us, and Darren, had worked for him. And Frank Miramati, with a note on Twitter that I saw, saying how Hubbard gave him a chance. And if you read the piece that Eric Mitchell wrote at Bloodhorse, the Banderoffs helped them get their start, and on and on and on. There's some wonderful quotes. I would, if you can, read every obit, actual obits as opposed to, press release kind of obits about D. Hubbard. I feel like one of those people you wish you knew. The family, I think, is just saddened that they can't have an outpouring of appreciation in terms of a funeral. But there will be occasions, undoubtedly. And, Ruidoso's opening, right? Ruidoso's opening in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure they'll do something. And anyway, we'll honor Mr. Hubbard with as many people, and it seems like any guest I'm going to bring forward is probably in some way. I mean, Hammer will be on later. I'm sure Hammer's got things to offer. And Jeff Siegel in hour three as well. So quick rundown of what we're doing. Jay Privman, as I said, to start things off. And we'll get James Scully in for some handicapping. Hammer, top of hour two. And more reaction to what went on this week, which was all positive. And Nick Tamara will be back. You may have heard the replay this morning already for the Friday action. I've made selections. I haven't put together the specific plays yet. I'll have to I was kind of want to wait for scratches, because with these big fields, I don't want to craft plays, and there may get some help from scratches. There may be some changes to pace scenarios. So I think I'll reserve. Right now it's up at Derby Trail, but I'll get it on the website very soon. Ed DeRosa, we'll get Ed in here. And I'm sure both James and Ed have got some thoughts about the fundraiser for COVID relief as part of the Triple Crown runners in a derby that NBC is going to put out. Andy Serling is going to stop by, get some final opinions from Andy as the Fox shows that are going today, tomorrow, Sunday. And in fact, I talked to Andy this morning. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm digging through PPs for Tampa on Sunday for the Sunday show. So, money never sleeps, and neither does Andy Serling. Jeff Siegel is mentioned. Mike Welch is going to swing through, and I have to reach out to Welch, because you got that nice card, actually. At I know everybody's going to be Oaklawn centric, but I've got an opportunity to talk to Mike about the three stakes at Gulfstream. All right, so we'll get some of that, and he'll offer some thoughts about the Florida-based runners that are participating at Oaklawn. And Mary Rampolini, gotta have Mary closing weekend at Hot Springs. All right, so there it is. Griff, Scully, Hammer, Entam, DeRosa, Serling, Siegel, Welsh, Rampolini. Want to mention, let me go over to this page. Got so much going on here. I do want to mention, because I don't know if we're going to get a chance. Maybe on Monday, Kim Weir might come back. There's a Giving Tuesday, Global Giving Tuesday initiative coming up on Tuesday the 5th. And the TRF, it's kind of a late season hay drive, essentially, and grain. They've got a goal of 13,000. It just started yesterday or the day before, but through Tuesday, they're going to try to raise $13,000, which I don't think will be hard, but I want to make it aware. I'll send out a link to it. So I'll reiterate this again on Monday and on Tuesday. Was heading toward telling you about, because since Johnny and I talked on Monday, they, in fact, at ExpressBet, did organize and prepare for another tournament. And I'm going to try to quickly, because this will be the best chance I've got, to, here it is, Arkansas Derby Day Tournament. And I'm going to assume it's has the same essential parameters. Actually, it's a little bit more, and I suppose it's because there's more races to choose from. $500 buy-in, $300 tournament bankroll, and a $200 entry fee out of that $500. And all of the entry fees go back into the prize pool. There's no takeout in this at all. And they'll let you do as many as three entries. And registration started yesterday. And you got until, technically, you got until 5 o'clock tomorrow. But three Pegasus, 2021 Pegasus Betting Championship entries, which are worth $6,000 each. And prize pool. For the top four finishers. And as Johnny told you, they had 100 and what, we say 150, 160 last week. But with this group of races, pretty fun. Contest races are all the Oaklawn races and the last four from Gulfstream on Saturday. So 14, 18 races to choose from. And you got to bet your entire $300 bankroll. No, what else? What am I missing here? That's it. ExpressBet.com for details. Let's get started. Jay Pridman's going to join us first, and it'll be a capathon, I think, between now and noon. It's the first Friday in May. It's fantasy. Happy Fantasy Day. Back after this.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gaming Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes into the weekend preview, and still, boy, I chuckle a little bit because I've had so many people say, "Oh, you know, what are you talking about on the radio? How do you?" I don't know. I've got the usual amount of BPs, it seems, and more news than you can shake a stick at. I'm going to have to take the weekend to thin things out. And the Arkansas Derbies, plural, part of the Derby Watch discussion the last week. And Jay Pribman has had the finger on the pulse. He joins us now. Jay, good morning.
Morning, Steve. Happy Oaks Day.
I kind of ended up deferring to May Day, actually. I went May Day, a little happy fantasy day.
All right. Are you heading on down to Harper's Ferry?
Well, Haymarket. You can go to Haymarket.
Or Haymarket,
There you go. People should read up. I dropped a couple of clues. Hopefully people, especially in light of the unbelievable dedication involved, certainly our industry and people who have not missed a beat taking care of the horses. But of course, the seemingly faceless people that are the underpinnings of our society that have, put themselves at peril trying to keep food on the shelves and essential services working here the last 2 months. So
that's
put a plug in.
It should be eye opening. For those whose eyes weren't open.
Exactly. Jay, a couple of things even before we dig into the weekend and the substitute derbies. R.D. Hubbard, can I ask you for some thoughts? I'm sure you had to cover him and had some, path crossings.
Oh, many. I mean, was looking back through some old clips of mine from the Daily News before I left for the Racing Times, because it was when he was going through his proxy fight to get Hollywood Park. I covered a lot of that. In fact, I put up one of the old stories just a little bit ago. You were on the air. I just did it just before you called me, so you can see it later when you're off the air. But one of the old stories I wrote about him in the midst of his proxy fight for Hollywood Park. That was when I think really got to know him, but obviously when he got control of Hollywood Park, and so knew him a lot during that whole era and all the things that he tried to do and was successful at doing. And of course, it was just the coverage of all the things that he did in the industry. And also, with his horses. I mean, one anecdote that got overlooked among the many in the last couple of days, a lot's been written about all the things that he did for the sport and all the places in which he had influence and all the people who went on to have very successful careers in racing. But he put up $800,000 to run Gentleman in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill Downs one year. And the horse ran terrible. He was a true sportsman in the true word of it. I mean, he was game to go. And so that was just one thing I remember. And, Gentleman ran terrible. It was one of the Breeders' Cups at Churchill Downs. And that was back when they had the supplemental rules. And, he had to pay the full price because he was a South American import and the sire had not been nominated either. So it was a 20% of the purse thing. And the purse was $4 million. And they had to put up $800,000 to run. Or they had to put up $800,000 to run. And the horse ran terrible. So, but that horse had a great career. I mean, Gentleman was a top class horse for Dick Mandela, but the day that they put up a large amount of money to go, he didn't show up. Anyway, just one of many, many. He had Fire the Groom, Beverly D winner and Gentleman and so many other horses and his influence at Rodoso and Hollywood Park and launching the Woodlands. And like I was saying, there's so many people whose careers in racing trace back to him, Martin Panza, Keith Chamblin, Tony Alavado, Rick Bedecker, all from the Hollywood Park days, gone on to have very successful careers in the sport after being mentored by Dee Hubbard.
Just inadvertently yesterday when the news hit the wire and Darren Rogers was joining us, and Darren was just coming on as I reported his passing. And Darren was actually shaken up. Darren was starting out, I didn't even know that. I didn't even make that connection.
That's where I first met Darren, was when he was working in publicity at Hollywood Park back in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s, before he went on to Lone Star and then Churchill Downs.
Well, and I'm sure Johnny D will have some for us as well on Monday. And I'm going to ask Siegel and Hammer today. I'm really struck by just how many people have already come forward. I mean, there's a bunch of things coming out that. So I told people read every single obit because you're going to learn something new. The Vanderhoffs he helped them get their start by carving out a section of his Kentucky farm. Yeah.
Yep.
There's
a lot of people who, in Kentucky, Tom Goncharoff worked for him. That was when I first met Tom years ago working for him. And there are a lot of people whose careers got a leg up because of Dee Hubbard.
And of course, there's some wonderful quotes from Doc Allred already that we've seen. It's funny because you got to be lucky in this game in whatever capacity you're involved. And Mandela also had a great little anecdote, a typical R.D. Hubbard deal where he was offered a package of horses and it involved Virginie, who immediately won the Beverly Hills Handicap and became a grade one winner like 30 minutes after they made the deal. He said that was just so typical of Hubbard. But, but Allred said, Jay, that if a deal didn't go well, he would figure out a way to make it up to people too. That if somebody got the short end of what looked like an even deal at the start, that Hubbard would figure out a way to try to level the scales. That's a wonderful quality that obviously you can see how it endeared him to so many.
No, he there were a lot of people who whose lives were influenced and impacted by by him, and he had his hands in, you know, a lot of things. He's going back, you know, helping with the NTRA and
right.
You know, so you know who else I left out? I mean, God, I was talking about people he influenced. I mean, one of his biggest people who he was aligned with was Barry Weisbord. I mean, talking about, you know, and all the people who have worked for Barry over the years, for, you know, emanate from that. I mean, so that's another. There's so many. I mean, the laundry list of people who he helped and helped give a leg up to and worked with is pretty wide in scope.
We'll hear more, I'm sure, later this morning and into next week. And, Jay, let's turn our attention to something that has also impacted many, many people, horsemen and stakeholders and horse players and everybody. The situation at Santa Anita specifically, and I suppose Golden Gate tangentially, hasn't gotten as much discussion, and I don't know what's happening in Alameda County. But this was a seemingly a turning point period the last several days. I think Steve Anderson has covered it more, but your thoughts about where things are going into next week?
Where things are right now is that Santa Anita is preparing, you know, making arrangements so that if they get the okay to launch next week, they'll be able to be up and running within, you know, a week and a half or so. And so in advance of that, you know, what they didn't want to have happen was get approval to run and then not have alerted horsemen as to what the condition book would be or the stake schedule. So they put that out for horsemen to know, like, look, if we get approval to run, here's what we're going to do. But they still have not officially gotten approval to start in mid-May, which is what they're shooting for. They're shooting for May 15th. And if they can get that approval finally from the county, which is who shut them down last month, or I guess a month and a half ago now, then that's the intention, is to return to the situation that they had earlier, which is racing but with only essential personnel, you know, basically what was working before they were shut down, with even a couple more added things that they've just gone, I thought, above and beyond to make this work. I saw the copy of the proposal that they sent to the county, and it was pretty thorough and impressive. And here we are, it's been now 15 days since that was sent on to the county, and there still hasn't been a official reply. So hopefully the wheels are turning behind the scenes. Hopefully they'll get the green light to go. And like I said, in advance of that, so that trainers could start making some sort of plans, because they've been flying blind for the last, you know, month plus, they put out a condition book so that you can at least start pointing for a race for horses that fit the races that they have there and for the stakes that they rescheduled. They know when they could point for those stakes races. So all that's been laid out. They just now need the green light to put it into action.
Well, for those that hadn't looked yet, online now is a condition book with an abbreviated stake schedule. And I was curious, Jay. I looked to see if they were going to include a Santa Anita Derby in the, you know, in the body of the, you know, the list of stakes, and they didn't. I suppose the feature would be the Shoemaker,
that's not, you know, I don't know what list you saw, but the Santa Anita Derby is now scheduled for June the 6th. So there's two big days that they've got laid out. One is Memorial Day, which would include the Shoemaker Mile, and then they've got a big stakes filled card that they want to do on June 6th, which would include the Santa Anita Derby and the Santa Anita Oaks. So that's
excellent.
What's been put out for horsemen to contemplate.
Oh, terrific! Because because when I went through it yesterday, when it hit, when the link posted, I did not see it. Oh, that's great, terrific. All right, so we get some. Yeah, we got that gives everybody a working target for 4 weeks from now. Awesome.
Let's dive into 5 weeks
from today, the weekend, and let's dive into Oakland. Last couple of days, and Oakland has been a godsend for the West Coast Horsemen, and they. Have a heavy hand, Jay, going into this afternoon and tomorrow.
Oh, very much so. I mean, you've got an Oaks quality field today in the fantasy, and then not one but two divisions of the Arkansas Derby tomorrow for the Derby Day 2020. We'll be in Arkansas.
Do you want to touch on fantasy thoughts? I know you had the piece. Some thoughts about this for later this afternoon?
I think it's a terrific race. It's like really high, this is a field. This is what you would have had in the Kentucky Oaks, pretty much if the Kentucky Oaks was today. And so a lot of the horses that would have been there got rerouted to this. Obviously, from a marquee standpoint, British Idiom is the biggest name in the race. But, I think Venetian Harbor is really special, and I'm really looking forward to, seeing her on this stage today. I just think she's a real high-quality filly, and I think she's going to take a lot of beating in today's race. I think both of the Mott fillies, I think, will be well meant today. Harvey's Little Goyal, for instance, I think, pace will work out well for her. So it's a really, really good race.
Looking forward to it. And you mentioned that Gardenia, which, a whole second set of 14 fillies, and that's a nice group. And in fact, in that group too, Mott's got Antoinette, who looks eligible as well. So, and Harvey's Little Goyal, we've been waiting to run back since the Aqueduct performance. Jay, let's turn to Saturday. And after you midweek broke the first two scratches story, now we've got two more. And so the fields are reduced to 9 each.
Yes. I don't know that we lost anybody other than, Shooter Shoot was, I think, an interesting rival for potential rival for Charlatan, but the others were decided long shots in their respective races. So like you said, a couple of fields of 9, and one race looks like a layup for the favorite, and the other's a real competitive race. So
you want to flesh out the second? I mean, I Shooter Shoot coming out of the first division. Everybody sort of said, "Well, there goes any kind of a pace challenge necessarily to Charlatan." But he's still down inside. He's got to break sharp or break clean anyway. Flesh out either or races. You got wider thoughts about the second division, maybe?
Well, we can finish up the first division. I mean, obviously, Charlatan's fast, and like you said, having drawn the rail, that the strategy is to go. I guess the real interesting horse for me in here is going to be Basin, and from a pace standpoint, because I mean, he's not a horse who's been on the lead going in his two turn races, but I mean, he's got sprint speed. He won the hopeful last year, laying just off the pace. He was right on the pace when he won his maiden race at Saratoga, and he's drawn wide. So, I would think he would, without a whole lot of other pace in here, I would think he would at least be prominent. I'm not saying he's going to try and go head and head with Charlatan, but I think, put him in the race and see what happens. And then the other interesting horse is just Eno D'Or, who just had a very good 2-year-old campaign and was just awful in his one start at three when he shipped to Fairgrounds for his division of the Risen Star. He added blinkers that day. Rosario rode him that day, and just for whatever reason, he just didn't run his race. I talked to Blaine Wright yesterday, and he said they scoped the horse and ran blood work and just did everything you're supposed to do, and just nothing turned up. He didn't displace or anything like that. So he has no excuse for the horse. He's just hoping he had an off day. He said they did ship in kind of late for the race, so because of that, they went earlier for this race. And he's just hoping he bounces back, but he doesn't have a real excuse for what happened last time. You know, the other sort of big name in here is Gouverneur Morris, who ran on for fourth in the Florida Derby after winning an allowance race at Tampa. And he looks like he's making, you know, steady progress, but I don't know that he's quite at the level of, you know, of a horse like Charlatan quite yet. The good thing for him is with the postponement of the Derby, he's got more time to get faster. But you know, he's obviously a pretty well-known name. He's been on everybody's or most people's Derby lists, including ours, for a long time. But, you know, like we've been saying, it's Charlatan's race to lose. It's just from a pace standpoint, from a talent standpoint, he's supposed to win that race and supposed to win it at a short price.
Well, the Oakland Handicap follows that first division, and then the second division, 7:43 Eastern. And as Andy Serling told you the other day, 1:30 to 8 o'clock coverage on Fox on Saturday. And
a lot of Andy.
Then, of course, well, he starts about halfway through at 4. I think they're bringing the house. They've got like I think 8 or 9 people that'll contribute at least to the shows. And then Jay, the second division, Nadal actually will move in one. We'll move in one slot with Saratogian coming out, and Fast Enough was in the 8 hole. So Tayshan and Farmington Road and Wells Bayou each get to come in a little bit. So, you know, the outposted horses like Farmington Road and Wells Bayou, not as, you know, 1 1/8 at Arkansas, at Oaklawn, not a huge ordeal, but still puts this field in closer contact for the run to the first turn. Some thoughts about this?
Well, yeah, regarding that, I mean, you know, the post doesn't matter for Farmington Road. I mean, it doesn't matter where he's drawing. He's dropping well back, and then, you know, he's dropping back to last and then coming with a run. That's you know, it's more impactful for Wells Bayou in the fact that because of the 2 scratches out of the race, he can move in 2 slots. That makes it a lot easier for him to get over. But it's a different pace scenario that he's facing than when he won the Louisiana Derby, where he got loose on the lead and kind of set moderate fractions and kicked on. Now he's got some real sharp speed inside of him with the likes of Nadal and King Guillermo for him to. So I think it's a different kind of race. You know, Nadal, I thought his race in the Rebel was remarkable, considering the way the pace came up, the horses who pressed him, where they finished, and that Nadal put those horses away and still held on and won. Now, granted, the race came home slow, but when you go, you know, 22-4, 46 flat to start, you're not going to come home fast, and usually you have no business winning a race like that. So, but he had to go from the rail. So he's got, I think, a chance here to sit off of another horse if somebody's intent on going to the lead, and he's been trained recently to do that in his workouts. They've been trying to get him to sit off of another horse, outside of another horse, and then go on and finish. And Baffert believes that he's certainly capable of doing that. He wants the horse to be into the race early, and then just depending on how it comes up, that'll be where he's positioned. If somebody's intent on the lead, he'll sit off of them. And if nobody wants it, I'm sure he'll be perfectly happy to take what's given him. You know, when King Guillermo won the Tampa Bay Derby, I said on your show, I thought it was just an absolutely freakish performance. I don't know where it came from. But having watched tapes of his works since then at Gulfstream, I mean, he's trained like amazingly. And, you know, I wanted to see him do it again after the Tampa Bay Derby. So tomorrow is a chance for that to happen. But I, you know, he might be, I'm going to have to go back and say, like, you know, maybe this horse is a lot better than I thought, because he's trained like a proper horse coming out of that race. And I think he's going to give another good account of himself tomorrow. And then you've got Storm the Court, last year's champion two-year-old, who has run a couple of okay races this year. And the interesting thing about it is that his last race, when he was third in the San Felipe, he got the highest tire speed figure of his career, but he's still just a little bit slower than the best of this group right now. So he's made some progress from two to three, but maybe not as much as you need to at this point. But he's another one who maybe is going to benefit by the, you know, by the Derby being a little bit later than now, because at this point he hasn't quite made the turn as much from two to three as you'd want. But his last race wasn't bad. You know, he ran behind two horses who I think very highly of, an Authentic and Honor AP. So that was, and he was well clear of everybody else in the field. I don't think he's quite good enough to beat Nadal and King Guillermo, but I do think he's progressively getting better. And he's reunited with Pratt. So it's a, you know, you've got several really top prospects in here. And even, you know, Silver Prospector has been kind of in and out. And his two bad races this year at Oaklawn were on off tracks, but his one race on a fast track was career best performance, and he beat Wells Bayou. And if they go too fast too soon, Farmington Road is going to obviously make an impact late. So it's a much more interesting race than the first division, because you've just got a lot more quality in here.
We should mention, Jay, as well, as part of, you mentioned Farmington Road, and it makes me think to note that Javier Castellano comes back to ride today. He's got four mounts, including British Idiom in the fantasy, and three for Brad Cox today, and one for Michael McCarthy with Stirred in the nightcap. And then tomorrow he's got seven lined up, including Night Ops for Cox in the Oaklawn Handicap and Farmington Road. And he writes, he also rides for Al Stahl and Phil D'Amato, McCarthy again, and Brad Cox, and Todd Pletcher, and Moretti. So good luck to Javi coming back off of a COVID bout. Good to get his name back in the PPs.
Yeah, no, we got him back. Rod came back recently. Jose says he's going to get, Ortiz is going to get back to riding. So things are hopefully starting to trend in a better direction on a lot of fronts right now.
On the jockey note, Jay, before we go, you know, one interesting long running storyline that has emerged in recent weeks, Martin Garcia and Bob Baffert with their quixotic relationship.
Yes. What's that song, Reunited and It Feels So Good? You know.
It's so funny. And he'll, he's got improbable.
Yeah, what's the movie line? I Can't Quit You. I mean, that's kind of, yes, they've had an up and down relationship over the years. But, you know, Martin relocated to Oaklawn and has had terrific success there. He's second in the standings behind Santana. And he's been riding a lot of horses that Baffert has shipped in and picked up, you know, Charlatan, among others, for this weekend. So he's really, it's turned out to be a really good move for him. And, you know, and Talamo as well. Both those guys got out of California, and you know, look at how they've done. They're both in the top three for the standings there. They've won a lot of big races. Talamo especially has won, you know, more stakes races. But, I mean, both, It was absolutely the right move for them to make, the way things have played out.
And we should note too, another rider that didn't have a physical liability that was keeping him sidelined, but Flavian Pratt back into action as well, and you know, a big part of the weekend, Venetian Harbor, of course, and then Storm the Court on Saturday, and some other mounts as well for McCarthy, Baltus, Pewich, and McQuett. So this should be great, Jay. And, you know, it's fun now because we were, I don't say worried, but I think a lot of people thought, well, once we Oaklawn closes, you know, where are we? And then lo and behold, this week it was one, you know, one domino falling after another in a positive direction to things to look forward to.
Yeah, no, and hopefully they'll continue that way. Hopefully people continue to be smart about what they need to be doing so that these things don't have setbacks. But, you know, certainly it's encouraging to see Churchill coming online. You know, hopefully, like we say, Santa Anita will get the green light to get going within the next, you know, they can start running as they hope in a couple of weeks. And, you know, hopefully New York will get back and going real soon as well. So those would be certainly positive developments. I saw where West Virginia got the green light to get going in a couple of weeks. That came down this morning. So there's lots of positive things that are starting to happen on those fronts, and hopefully they'll continue to happen.
Very much. And of course, the exclusivity to a major degree, Jay, continues for the industry. I mean, no reason to think that racing won't continue to be showcased the way it's getting on, particularly on the weekends.
No, that's been, you know, it's been nice that it's been around, and hopefully they'll, like I say, hopefully those things will continue. I certainly don't wish other sports to not get back up and running. It's, you know, I miss the hockey playoffs. I miss baseball starting up. There's a lot that'd be nice to see them get going as well when it's safe. But, you know, racing's in a unique position right now, and hopefully can continue to do well because of that.
Well, a terrific couple of days at Hot Springs. There's also action. We'll talk to Mike Welch, Jay's colleague. We'll talk to Mike in hour three about what the three stakes there look like and more. Jay Privman, enjoy Oaks and Derby Day, as it were, Fantasy and Arkansas Derby weekend, and we'll catch up as soon as next week.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
Jay Privman, DRF Privman, I appreciate Jay's contribution on the tribute side to R.D. Hubbard. We'll stay right here because we got a lot to do, and James Scully swings in, and James is ready, I'm sure, to fire away at Hot Springs this weekend. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, it was nice to get the races drawn early for this big weekend with the fantasy drawing last Saturday and the Arkansas Derby card drawn on Sunday. So, yeah, I had a couple extra days to get started on it and taking a good look at it. It's going to be a dynamite closing 2 days of racing at Oaklawn.
Let's get a couple of thoughts about today before we focus on the heavy action tomorrow. Best ideas for this afternoon?
Well, one of my best plays today is definitely in the Gardenia Stakes. I don't think she's going to be 8-1 by any stretch, but I do like Antoinette. I liked the way that she, I thought, you know, that was a really tough spot to come back in that Fairgrounds Oaks for her first start of the year. And she had a little bit of a tough trip where she was like, you know, pocketed down on the inside, even going around the far turn. And then when she got out, I thought she finished up well for third. Definitely an effort she's eligible to improve upon. And the thing with Antoinette is that she has good tactical speed. I mean, she's really bred for the turf, or really a classy female turf family. No surprise she started on the turf, but that was a pretty bullish move off of that win and off the turf Tepin Stakes in December at Aqueduct, where Antoinette really didn't beat much in that race, didn't run very fast either to bring her back in that Fairgrounds Oaks. And that effort really did come back pretty quick. She got a 90 Brisnet speed rating, which is among the best in the field. And she's like my main play today, Steve.
Nice. And I think I picked her third. I wanted to get quick decision involved from Larry Jones and also, who was the other one? Oh, strong flag as well.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's a tough race for me to figure out how they're going to bet it, because I agree with you. A quick decision I thought was interesting, and I saw that 12-1 morning line odds, and I don't think she's going to be that high either. In the fantasy stakes today, really dynamite race. You know, Venetian Harbor, I have a ton of respect for her. I have her ranked number one in my Kentucky Oaks top 10 at KentuckyDerby.com. But she has had everything her own way in both of her last two starts. Going to face some pressure, it looks like, in here. If somebody's going to beat her, I'm going to give my lukewarm top selection in here to number three, Swiss Diver. And she's a filly that last year, Steve, really had trouble getting out of the starting gate in her first two starts, broke slowly in both of them, broke her maiden in eye-catching fashion, and really came back with a solid effort on November 30th at Churchill, where she got beat late by Byroness. But Brooke Slowey that day, I thought, made a premature early move and finished a good second. Came back this year, once again, was too far back in that Gasparilla at Tampa Bay. But I think she has really improved in her last two starts, got out of the gate really nicely in that Gulfstream Park's Oaks. She took the lead by default, but ideally, I think, in the fantasy, she's going to be sitting like third or fourth. And if Venetian Harbor does come back to him, I think it's going to be Swiss Skydiver to prove best for Kenny McPeak.
Yep. Well, we're overlapping. I picked her third as well, as it happens, with Venetian Harbor and Harvey's Little Goyal. And I want to try to get Lazy Daisy involved for something. I think
Harvey's Little Goyal as well. You know, I'm a little worried that she might, you know, come running late for second or third, because, you know, she hasn't raced since February 2nd. This will be our first real class check. And she's been a little bit of a late runner. So in this big field, she could find herself a little bit further back than she's been in her recent starts. But definitely, I like both her wins in the Basanda and her maiden victory for Bill Mott. Bill Mott looks pretty loaded to me. You know, he had that blamed run yesterday. And then today he's got Lake Avenue and Harvey's Little Goyal and Antoinette in the Gardenia.
Yeah, exactly. Mentioned that Mott seemed poised. Let's anything else from Friday before we get to Saturday?
No. Let's turn to Saturday, Steve.
Very good. You can start wherever you want, really, and with the derbies, or if you want to do the stakes, pick three, or however you want.
All right. Well, I'll start with the. I'll start with the first division real quick. Obviously, I'll echo what a lot of people will probably say that are a handicap in the race. Really, no pace in there. It looks like it's Charlton's race to lose. Don't know what it will tell us about his Kentucky Derby chances going forward. But I do expect him to run a good race for Baffert. He always has these horses poised to run big when they ship to Oaklawn, it seems. I've talked before on your show about sometimes I don't mind like taking a favorite and playing like straight exactas. And this first division of the race is a race where I sort of have an anti-opinion against Governor Morris, against Anno d'Or, and even Basin. You know, I don't like Basin at the non-furlong distance. It's a tough outside post. I think all three of them, none of them are guaranteed to run second. And it's the kind of thing where I'll be checking the Will Pays. I might play a couple straight exactas, Steve. Charlatan over my friend's Beer, who's obviously facing a class check, but I thought he finished up with good energy last time. He's going to be running late in this spot. And Winning Impression. Obviously, Winning Impression is going to have to run faster than his recent efforts, but he's a sneaky type for Dallas Stewart that's on the improve. Sometimes he has these horses jump up and run good races, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him run second behind Charlatan. Turning next to the Oaklawn Handicap, that's a race where, to me, you know, I don't know what his odds are going to be. Once again, 6-1 on the morning line with Mr. Freeze, but I use the Brissonette speed rating. In his last two races, the Pegasus World Cup Invitational, the Gulfstream Park Mile, Mr. Freeze has received 106 Brissonette speed ratings. This will be his third start of the year for Dale Roman. I do think it's an opportunity where if he wins this race tomorrow, he's going to be a lot shorter odds going forward. Opportunity to get him at a good price. And just based on our numbers, he's faster than these rivals right now. But with that being said, he's obviously got to get the right trip. it'll be interesting to see how gung-ho Warrior's Charge is, because I do think Mr. Freeze and Warrior's Charge are the two speed. If they hook up head-and-head, they could run each other into the ground, and then the race becomes a little bit wide open where you have a whole bunch of options. But I'll mention a couple that I think are interesting. First off, Knight Ops. You know, one, he might not be good enough to win, but I do like how he comes into this race off back-to-back wins for Brad Cox, stepping up in class in good form, and a sharp win over the track. And the other one is going to be Trophy Chaser. I think he's going to be a little bit of a wise guy horse, won't be 12-1 perhaps, but he's still going to be at least 8-1 range. And he's really run well since stretching out the two turns this year for Juan Avila, and could run a good race tomorrow as well.
Very good. Then the second division.
Second division of the Arkansas Derby. To me, if Nadal gets his act together, you know, you can watch his workouts. He sits behind horses, and then he turns for home, and he finishes up powerfully. Looks like he's, you know, he can settle, and he's got his mind on business. But he's been headstrong in all three races. If he runs to that, he could potentially be in trouble, because I do think there's the potential for Storm the Court in his third start of the year to show speed from the inside, as well as King Guillermo. He's coming back off of like an 8-week layoff, so he could be a little keyed up, but he's got a lot of speed. I know he sat second last time, but he was in post 11. And if he guns it and they're all, and they go head to head, one thing about Nadal is he has not earned fast numbers from it. I think he could be a little bit vulnerable. I'm gonna go with Wells Bayou on as my top pick. And I'm gonna give him a slight edge. One thing about him is, I think in all four of his, or all five of his starts, he's been drawn inside speed on in all those races. Obviously, tomorrow being in post 11 or post 10, if there's a scratch, he won't be inside speed. And I think he's got to set up a up close stocky trip. If he can do that, I think he's got a chance to run his race, because I do think he's entering the race on the improve, Steve.
Well, yeah, and he's moving in two slots because of the scratches. So
okay, I only knew about fast enough. I didn't know the other scratch.
Yeah, there's a You got Saratogian has come out as well, so he'll technically leave from the nine hole, and Farmington Road, you know, is going to take back anyway.
Right.
He should, you know, especially the way Giroux's been, you know, engineering these rides and you know being aggressive. He should have, you know, not a free path to the turn, but it's been made a little bit, easier.
Yeah, and like I said, he has to show that if Nadal's out there going, even if Nadal's a half length or a length in front, he has to show he can settle willingly. He has been a front-running type in all of his races, but I do think being drawn outside gives him an opportunity tomorrow. The sequence wraps up the late pick three, pick four, pick five with a starter allowance at a mile and three quarters. I like the horse a little bit in here. Number nine, Kate Charge Doro. He's 10-1. Chris Hartman really got off to a slow start this meet at Oaklawn Park, but he, over the last 2 weeks, I mean, at Oaklawn and at Will Rogers Downs, he is 6-25. He's won two of his last eight starts at Oaklawn. He had Wilbo at 7-1 on Saturday at Froster Frippery. This barn is heating up in advance of Churchill returning in 2 weeks. And I think this Take Charge Doro, he's making his third start of the year. Hartman claimed it two back, gave him a race over the track. For 53 start sample, Hartman is 28% second off the claim. And I just think Tate Charciaro can sit third or fourth early, Steve, make his move, and now finish this group. So I'm going to look for him. I'm going to give him the pick in the last race, number nine, Tate Charciaro.
Now, the trail's end, as they call it, and a tradition at Oaklawn, the mile and three quarter event. And a lot of locals point for this race, and know how to approach it. James, anything else elsewhere on the card?
Well, You know, I think it's interesting that Grant Forster's running Pirates Punch in the fifth race. He could have, I think, tried to get in the Oakland Handicap. I think it's a savvy move. You can use that as a final prep for the Oakland Handicap. I mean, for the Stephen Foster at Churchill in June. And I think that he's going to win that race. Now, I don't know what his odds are will be, but there was a couple other horses in there. Might take some money. Might be a horse to single in some races. And you know, I'll be watching to see how Baffert's three-year-old filly. I mean, I won't be picking against her, Steve, but that should be exciting to see Gambian run in race number 7. Oh, and I want to mention my, you know, I'm in on the Brilliant Racing. We've got Eskin Ford at number 9 in race 9 tomorrow. He's 30-1 on the morning line, but I have a couple dollars across the board on him. We'll be cheering him home.
Nice. I love it. Well, James, good luck there. And all weekend, and I appreciate the opinions. And James, of course, on Twitter, James_Scully111, and at the Twin Spires blog roll. And we'll catch up with Ed later. And then, of course, we're now officially 2 weeks away from getting started at Churchill. So I'm sure a lot of smiles yesterday. Well, I was going to say at 700 Central Avenue, aren't too many people actually at the plant. So those that were working from home were smiling, undoubtedly.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
James, thanks a lot. Let's take a top-of-the-hour break. We probably are only going to break at the tops. So top of this hour, top of third hour, because we've got a lot yet to do. We'll take a break. Rick Hammerly comes in. We've got Nick Tamaro to follow, as well as Ed DeRosa later, Andy Serling, Jeff Siegel, Mike Welch, Mary Rampolini. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at just in about 10 minutes into hour two, and Rick Hammerly standing